He's blowing the wind his direction. See, you got to understand, when you're a Christian and you're in a storm, God is the wind blower. He decides where the wind takes you. He decides where the waves wash you up at.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is Developing Mature Faith and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
So today I want to help all of us, including myself, to develop some mature faith. And for those of you who already are mature in your faith, I would hope that this would even grow you further, because we never stop growing, right? You might say we're practicing Christianity, like doctors are practicing medicine. Amen? So our key verse is going to be Mark chapter 7, verses 24 through 30. Please turn to that and stand for the reading of God's holy word, please. Jesus left that place and went to the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house and did not want anyone to know it. Yet, he could not keep his presence secret. In fact, as soon as she heard about him, a woman whose little daughter was possessed by an evil spirit came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek born in Syrian Phoenicia. She begged Jesus to drive the demon out of her daughter. "First, let the children eat all they want," he told her, "for it is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she replied, "but even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Then he told her, "For such a reply, you may go. The demon has left your daughter." She went home and found her child lying on the bed, and the demon was gone. Heavenly Father, we come to you today, and we praise your name. We thank you, Lord. God, I pray that you will open all of our hearts to receive your revelation of your word. In the name of your precious Son, Jesus Christ, we give thanks. Amen. You may be seated. Here we have a woman that will not take no for an answer. And as we read this scripture, we find out that this woman found Jesus even when he was hiding. Ever feel like God's hiding from you? Ever feel like when you're praying to God, he's just not listening? Ever feel like that there's something battling you when you're praying to God? Perhaps it's your own disbelief. Perhaps it's God's testing. Jesus wasn't insulting this woman when he said dog to her. The Jews considered the people outside of their beliefs dogs. This is what they would have called her. But Jesus used the Greek word that actually meant little dog or little puppy. So he might have been having a little twinkle in his eye when he was saying it to her. Maybe he was kind of just poking at her a little bit and she kind of felt this. We don't know. We weren't there. Okay. But whatever the case, Jesus was clearly testing her, and I believe he was also testing the disciples around him as well. I think he was testing their faith to see whether or not they would believe that he would help an outsider, as the Jews would have called this woman, an outsider not belonging to the group. But Jesus did help her because she was persistent, was she not? She wouldn't take no for an answer. She called him out. She called him out on his grace. You see, often when we petition God, we look upon ourselves as worthy of getting what we're asking for. And then when we see our unworthiness, we believe that God's grace is not bigger than our unworthiness. Do you follow what I'm saying? God's grace is bigger than our failures. God's grace is bigger than our circumstance. God's grace is bigger than our own belief if we just keep believing and asking, because he can help us grow that faith through testing, through prayer, through study of our word, through fellowship of others. And that's what I want to help all of us do today, is to grow in Christ, to mature in our faith, to become stronger in our faith, so that when we pray, we have some powerful prayers for healing, for deliverance, for blessing. Amen. We are victorious. We are victorious in Christ. We have everything that we need. We've already won. So why are we not claiming the prizes, the promises of the Word of God? So first of all, mature faith does not deny the problem. Mature faith does not deny the problem. What do I mean by that? It is not the power of positive thinking or a way of looking at life through rose-colored glasses. That's not mature faith. Now, I have been around some Christians that when you point out the problem, they say, "Don't speak that over my life. I don't claim that." That's nonsense. That's denial. There are some things that are in your face that is happening to you that you cannot deny. Even if you don't speak about them, they're happening. You can ignore it all you want, but it's happening. Don't fall into that trap that if you speak it, it's going to happen, and that if you don't speak it, you're going to rebuke it, because that's nonsense. That's not what biblical teaching is all about. No, we have to look at the problem and understand that there is a problem and that we need to pray about it and that we need other people to pray with us and that we need their help and that we need, above all, whose help? God's help. So it's not about positive thinking. I think it not, so it shall not happen. That's silliness. That is not mature faith. That's running from the problem. That's running from the problem. A pastor friend of mine once told me he attended a church where a woman fell outside of the door leaving the church. And she said, "My leg is broke. My leg is broke." And three of her sisters ran up to her and they said, "We rebuke what you just said. Don't claim it. Don't claim it." She pulled her dress up a little bit and the bone was protruding from the leg. And she said, "Claim it. It's already here. It's already there." Now, if she would have took their word for it and didn't tell them her leg was broken, she may not have been helped. Denying that there's a problem can deny you help from other Christians. And when Christians come to you and they tell you there's a problem, don't tell them, "Well, don't claim it. Don't speak of it." No, speak of it in prayer. Speak of it in prayer. Stand with them. Mature faith is realistic, acknowledging the challenges, difficulties, struggles, and sufferings. Listen, we're Christians. I understand that. But Christians suffer. This is a reality. This is a reality that some pastors and churches and preachers don't want you to know about. They want you to believe that everything is hunky-dunk-dory, and if it's not, you need to get more money. That's not what the Bible teaches. Mature faith is realistic. You look at the situation and you see it for what it is. And then you acknowledge it for what it is. You see the challenge before you. You know it's not easy. You know it's hard. You know you're suffering. You know you're struggling. You know it's difficult. Don't deny that. Accept it. Take it to God in prayer. This is mature faith. This is mature faith. Facing it, not denying it. Mature faith goes directly to the source of the blessing. Now, a lot of us, we like to pick up the phone instead of running to the throne of God. Now, I understand that we need to talk to our friends, and I encourage you to talk to your Christian friends. Christian friends. Talk to your Christian friends about it. Talk to God about it. Pray about it with your friends. But mature faith goes directly to the source of the blessing. As soon as you hear the bad report, you need to get God on the line. You need to start talking to him about it. You need to bring it straight to God. As soon as this woman heard of Christ, she came and fell at his feet. She heard about God or Jesus. She heard about Jesus and came running to him and fell at his feet. And he was trying to keep it all secret, wasn't he? You got to remember that Jesus had a lot of people that wanted his attention. And he didn't have time for everyone. And not everybody was seeking him for spiritual blessings. A lot of people were following him for non-spiritual things, materialistic things, temporal things. And he was trying to keep it secret that he was in his area. Also because he was a wanted man. The Jews, the leaders of the church at Jesus' time, was plotting to kill him. So he was trying to be incognito at this time. But this woman found him. And see, we know where Jesus is. We know we can pick up our Bible. We know that we can pray to him anytime, anywhere, any place. But how many of us lack seeking him out when we already know where he is? He's in our heart. Yet this woman didn't know exactly where he was, and she found him. Now, this is faith, because we know where to find God. This woman had to seek. She had to find, and she had enough faith to do that. We just need to ask, and some of us lack that faith. We sometimes depend too much on our own abilities and resources. Now, it's good to have money in the bank, isn't it? See, I got one amen over here. The rest of y'all are liars. Because you know you love the money. You shouldn't love the money, but you know you like the money. No, but we sometimes depend too much on our own abilities and resources. And it's good to have those things. But listen, there comes a time in everybody's life, I believe, where those things don't do you any good. Because if God wants your attention, your things and your stuff, they ain't going to help you. He won't let them help you. God can put you in the perfect storm where he knows you will seek after him and seek after him only. That doesn't mean you won't go running around in a circle first. It just means that ultimately you'll be coming to him because he's blowing the wind his direction. He's blowing the wind his direction. See, you got to understand, when you're a Christian and you're in a storm, God is the wind blower. He decides where the wind takes you. He decides where the waves wash you up at. But see, sometimes we panic and we think, if I don't get my own paddle out and start pushing this boat with my own rudder and steering it, I won't be where I want to be. You know what? You might be right. You may not end up where you want to be. But if God's in control, and he is for the Christian, you'll be exactly where he wants you to be. And that doesn't mean that sin can't get you out of the sink with God. God never wants his children in sin. You follow what I'm saying here? There are some storms that Christians cause for themselves because they don't give up sin. They don't give up a particular sin. And they'll end up in a place they don't want to be at. That doesn't mean God's not in control of it. It just means that they got themselves in a situation all by themselves. God didn't do that. They did it themselves. Mature faith knows that beyond our own resources is the source of all power and blessing, God himself. Everybody say, God is the source of all power and blessing in my life. Amen. You believe that. You keep repeating that to yourself. Hebrews 4:16. I'm reading now the NIV, by the way. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. Confidence. So that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Listen, if you go to God and you don't have confidence, you're not going to ask him for the big things, the big blessings. Want to know what I consider the biggest blessing from God? And I didn't always think this way. My biggest blessing from God is the revelation of his word in my life. I had to change my focus of my prayers because I was listening to the wrong preacher men. I had to focus on God and say, Lord, I want more of you and less of the world. I want to be content with you and not with the world. I want you to fill me with you and not the world. See, mature faith knows that God is the real blessing. Jesus came to bless us with fellowship with God, not with the things of the world. So let us approach the throne of grace with confidence. Let's come to God and call him out on his grace. He's an all-loving, all-forgiving God. Does that mean you get everything you've ever wanted? No. Should you get everything you've ever wanted? Absolutely not. That makes for a spoiled child. But listen, we all need mercy. We must humble ourselves and realize we all need mercy. Because I know I'm a mess up. I know the rest of y'all are perfect. I see that. But I am a mess up. And I can say that because God already knows it. And there's freedom in me saying that. Because now I got nothing to prove to nobody. Just because I'm a preacher don't mean I'm perfect. Don't ever lift me up on a pedestal so high that you can't see Jesus. Okay? Because I don't want to be that kind of a preacher. God had to break me just like he has to break some of us in here now. And he's still breaking me. And he's still breaking all of us. Free will. Free will. Gets in the way, don't it? I want to do what I want to do. But listen, if we approach the throne of grace with confidence, we will receive mercy. Mercy and the confidence knowing that God is graceful. You see, it says right here, and find grace to help us in our time of need. Grace. Grace. Sometimes you don't have the thing you need to get through a situation, but that's when God's grace comes down and says, I'm here with you through it. And that makes it all better. It's like a friend showing up at the hospital just before a procedure. It's just a calming effect knowing that Jesus showed up on the scene. You might still be in the storm, but you know he's in the boat with you. Mature faith throws itself at the feet of Jesus. Now listen, this is important because we have some Christians in this world that they think that they can dictate to Jesus their prayers. And they don't humble themselves. They don't throw themselves down to their knees. They don't worship God in prayer. They don't humble themselves when they come to God. This woman threw herself at his feet. This woman, she did an act of submission, carrying the idea of abandonment to the purpose, plan, and power of God. Follow what I'm saying. In prayer, you don't tell God what to do. That's why you're asking him. You don't go to the teacher and teach. Are we following me? You surrender it to God. You don't question the outcome that he has for your situation. You don't give him suggestions as to what that outcome should be. You come to God and you say, Lord, whatever your will is, show it to me and give me the grace and the strength to do it. Because I know that you have a plan and a purpose. And I know that you have all the power I need. Listen to what I just said. God has the power you need. You don't have the power. You never had the power. You don't have the power and you never will have the power. You need God. This is why Jesus came. This is why Jesus came to be that bridge so that you could communicate with God with a clean heart. Your sins are forgiven. So when you go to prayer, understand that you could submit yourself to God knowing that you're already cleansed of all unrighteousness. You have a reason to be in front of him. You have a right to be in front of him. The sinner, the unbeliever, they can't come to God and request anything of him because he does not hear the prayers of a sinner. He hears only the prayer of salvation from them. But for the Christian, we're cleansed. Stop beating yourself up. Stop beating yourself up. God's already forgiven you. So now the next act is submission, abandonment to the purpose, plan, and power of God. She didn't come with her own plan, and she asked Jesus to bless it. She didn't come with her own plan and ask Jesus to bless it. She said, Lord, I give this to you. How many of us give stuff to God just to take it back right again? You know you do it. You swear you're not going to worry about it anymore. You swear you're not going to be complaining about it anymore. You swear off of it, and next thing you know, you got it. You're complaining. You're worrying. You're trying to work yourself out of it in a frenzy. Doing all the wrong things. I'm not saying people shouldn't help themselves, but I got a rule of thumb. When the Christian starts to help themselves, everything they do to help themselves needs to be biblical. Because I've seen people tell me they needed money and they were going to do something dishonest to get it. And they're Christians. And that's not the way to go. If you're helping yourself dishonestly, if you're helping yourself unbiblically, you're doing it the wrong way. And that's what I'm talking about when I say that we have to leave it in God's hands. Leaving it in God's hands is doing it the way the word tells us to do it. The way the word tells us to do it. That's leaving it in God's hands. How do I surrender it? Follow God's instructions. Trust him. He's working it out. It's frightening to give up control. Raise your hand in here if you like giving up control. If you like giving up control. So that was a trick question. I saw a bunch of hands come up and then jump back down. Gotcha. It's frightening to give up control. But when we yield control to Christ, true freedom comes. You know as well as I do, you can pray and pray and pray and still have the plan and the worry and the complaints in the back of your own mind. And you feel flustered, you feel afraid, you feel scared, you feel like God's not listening. But then when you come to that point in prayer, and this is why I believe we have to pray so much, is so that we can line up with God, not so that God can line up with us, is so that we can line up with God. But when we come to that point that we just give up control to God and we say, listen, Lord, I trust you. And we mean it. We actually get that trust in our heart. I trust you in this. Then that freedom comes. Because now you know that God is in control. And now you know it's not up to you anymore. And more than that, you know that's okay. That's okay that it's not up to you anymore. It's actually a good thing that it's not up to you anymore. Because now you know it's something's going to get done. Now you know that God is going to step forward on your behalf, in your faith, and get it done. Because without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. So James chapter 4, verse 10. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up. Who will lift you up? I didn't even hear that. God will lift you up. We don't need to lift ourselves up. We need to be humble. We have too many Christians walking around like peacocks. And I'm not just talking about in front of one another. I'm talking about in front of God. They think they can just dictate to God. I'm in control of this, God, so here's what I want you to do about it. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. That's what the devil says in his heart. And does he get away with it? Devil ain't getting away with nothing. There's a day for him coming. But listen, for the Christian who does not yield control to God, there's a day coming for them too. I'm not talking about salvation for the Christian who's disobedient. I'm talking about the Christian who does not listen to the word of God and lives their life like the devil, but speaks like a saint. There's a day coming for that type of Christian because you know what? Any kind of sin leads to death. It's not always a physical death. I'm not talking about the death of in a grave. I'm talking about if you sin in your marriage and you're a Christian, you could have that marriage die on you. You sin against your children as a Christian, and your relationship with those children could die on you. You sin against your friends as a Christian or your church, and you could lose that. It won't be a physical death, but it might as well be because you're no longer a part of it spiritually. You're no longer welcome around those people if you continue doing what is wrong in the sight of God. Sin is no good for anybody. Mature faith is persistent. Everybody say mature faith is persistent. At first, Jesus doesn't answer this woman. Ever feel like you're praying and praying and praying and God is not answering you? And when he finally did answer her, his tone was discouraging, but she kept begging. Now, I don't know about everybody else in here, but sometimes I'll be praying and I'll have something come up in my mind that's challenging me when I'm praying. And I don't know if it's me. I don't know if it's the devil. Or maybe it's God testing me. But this woman here is showing us in the scripture that she didn't take no for an answer. She didn't give up. Even when Jesus apparently insulted her, she didn't give up, knowing that she was worthy of his grace. See, Jesus was calling her a little dog, but she was saying, don't dogs get to eat too? She took what he said and she built on that. She took what he said and worked it out. She was clever, wasn't she? She could be a lawyer. And we should always pray and not faint like this woman. Don't you know that when you're praying for something and a blessing's on its way, that the devil's going to discourage you? Don't you know that the devil wants to stop you from praying, saying, God's not listening? He ain't listening. And even if he is listening, he's not going to answer you. Or he says, well, God answers the prayers of other Christians, not you. So that's why we have to pray and not faint. We have to line ourselves up with God and say, you know what, God? I'm not giving up. I know that I got shortcomings. This woman didn't deny she was a dog. Did she argue with them about it? Well, we do, don't we? Well, see, God, you owe this to me. I give to the church faithfully. Or I do this. Or I did that. Or I'm going to be doing this. Or I belong to such and such group or family. We don't come to God like that. This woman did not deny to him that she was a dog. She said, maybe I am. Maybe I'm not. She didn't really say that either. She just said, look, dogs get to eat. If you feed a dog, you got to feed me. Because dogs get to eat the scraps of the table. Prayer and faith must persist. Even when God seems to respond, not a word. Even when you don't think he's listening.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net. Again, that's james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.
And I'm James Lindley, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.